Hello, I'm Mary Clark, and this is Mary Clark Traveler. Today we're headed north, up to the Rocky Mountain National Park. It's all true. Everything you've heard about Rocky Mountain National Park's beauty and vastness is accurate. 415 square miles filled with 60 mountain peaks over 12,000 feet, an accessible alpine tundra, waterfalls, trout fishing, 350 miles of hiking trails, and the Continental Divide that weaves its way through the park. While famous for glaciers, clear water, and open valleys, there were stories behind the beautiful scene. The first morning, we headed to Mills Lake for a family hike. After entering a park gate and paying our $20, we moved slowly over a winding road until directed to an overflow parking lot. An overflow parking lot? A shuttle bus to our trail? What happened to getting away from it all? What happened was 3 million visitors a year to the park. It's the fifth most visited park in the country. That's a lot of cars on the road and the attendant air pollution. The solution at this park and others is mass transportation. A hiker shuttle is available to whisk riders to various trailheads, and Bear Lake and Moraine Park's Visitor Center also provide shuttle buses to the more popular trails. Unlike the parks at Grand Canyon and Yosemite, where bus rides are mandatory, Rocky Mountain National Park allows free choice. The reason for mass transit are obvious. Maintenance of roads, frustration with traffic, air quality in the pristine setting, and protection of animals are all concerns. 100 elk a year are killed by cars in the Rocky Mountain National Park. According to the National Park Conservatory Association, replacing 5,000 private vehicles per day with 30 propane-powered buses can eliminate more than 13,000 tons of greenhouse gas emissions in a year. Despite my grumbling and frustration with the delay, I had to admit the shuttle bus system worked well and was better than the huge parking lot that would be required near the fragile trailheads. Although most of the park was incredibly green from record rainfalls, we noticed whole mountains were brown from dead or dying trees, the work of bark beetles, a native insect that has flourished thanks to warmer-than-average temperatures. To suppress the beetles' activities, temperatures must stay below freezing for 30 straight days in the winter. Absent this, the beetles reproduce mightily and devour lodgepole pine trees. High-value trees can be treated, but thousands are being removed each year. Campgrounds lay in the open without shade trees, made bare from fear of dead trees toppling on sleeping campers. The silver lining is the appearance of more wildflowers and aspen trees who are not affected by the beetles. As one ranger said, it's like pressing the reset button on nature. We can only hope. Rocky Mountain National Park is far enough north to have elk, deer, and bears, and all want the experience of sighting these fine animals. We got messages along a trail that a mother elk and two babies were ahead on the lake, and in nearby Estes Park, cars had pulled over to see an elk in the stream. But what we didn't realize is the park has twice as many elk as can be sustained on the property without damage to the number of aspen trees and other elk favorites. Rangers estimate only 30 bear live in the park, but as many as 3,100 elk do. An ideal number would be 1,500. The solution has been to allow hunting for 30 female elk each year by park employees. Since implementing the policy, there has been a gradual decrease in the elk number and increase in their food supplies. And finally, I'm not sure we met any real park rangers. Those taking our money, riding the bus with us, and giving information were volunteers, as noted by their name tag and uniforms. Because of dwindling federal money, most national parks operate on 2/3 of their needed budget. So began the Volunteers in the Parks program. Rocky Mountain National Park has one of the largest with over 1,700 volunteers at a savings of $2 million a year. They are used to clean trails, remove and modify fences, handle the crowds, educate on wildlife, answer questions, collect seeds, and be ambassadors for the park. The good news is many want to volunteer, and the selection process is actually competitive. The National Park Service website even suggests you have a better chance of being chosen if you can provide your own housing. The need for volunteers will just grow greater and may be the perfect place for baby boomers to give back. With one last drive along the famous Ridge Trail Highway, the highest in the country, we looked again at the park's vast beauty. Yes, there are too many cars and elks. Thousands of trees are being leveled because of the pesky bark beetle, and volunteers are filling the funding gap for the park. But what we saw from on high was a landscape that's had years of practice at rejuvenating itself, and we're confident it will do it again.
Mary Clark is a retired attorney and lifelong traveler who began travel writing in 2008. Find more information about her travels at www.maryclarktraveler.com.